Welcome to episode 189 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, I'm talking about a live music shoot I recently did as a favour for the son of Hugh Graham. Regular listeners, of course, will know of Hugh from previous episodes. Now, although the subject matter on this occasion is far from what you might call outdoorsy, many of the technical aspects you'll hear me discuss can be applied whilst out and about, recording your adventures, and especially when you have downtime around the campsite. So, here we go then. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 189. It's just after 10:30 in the evening, and as I record this, it's a Saturday night. So, the initial question, of course, is why am I not at home or with my family or friends on a Saturday night enjoying myself and just relaxing? Well, actually, in a funny kind of way, I have very much enjoyed myself and I have relaxed. So, this evening has been something a little bit different, not to do with the outdoors, but it's been a bit of a favour job. Now, a lot of you, of course, will know of Hugh Graham, who I used to have conversations with for the podcast. He was one of my lecturers when I was at university. He subsequently became a very good friend. We worked together, and he sadly passed away last year. And depending upon when this goes out and also when you're listening, in recent weeks, one of the podcasts which I put out was actually it was a recording that I made with Hugh about a year or so ago, and I just held it back to to mark 1 year since he passed away, and so there we go. Anyway, the point being, I got a message from Hugh's son a couple of weeks ago saying, would I do some photography for him? Now, his son is in a band, a very good band actually. They're called the Rolling Tones, and as the name might suggest, they're a bit of a tribute band for the Rolling Stones, and they play all the usual Stones songs that you'd expect. Hugh's son plays the drums. If you've ever tried to photograph a drummer when they're in full flight, you'll know that it can be quite a challenge. Anyway, so I get this message saying, could I come and photograph him at an event which is in the village where Hugh lived, which was it's called Selsey. It's right down south coast here in the UK again, and every year they have a big fireworks display around this time, and live music and a big bonfire. There's a fair there as well with all the rides and everything, and it's the first time that I've actually been there, but so I understand, every year there's live music. And this year, Hugh's son's band were doing the music. So, like I say, this is a little bit different for those of you that are used to me speaking about the outdoors and all that sort of thing. Regular listeners will know that I've shot quite a bit of live music photography over the years. I've spoken about it on the podcast and in various other formats. I've spoken about it, and I really enjoy it. And that's why I didn't mind, because, you know, as a favour to Hugh's son, I was very happy to do it. And also, I love photographing live music. The trouble for me is I really get into the music, and I have to be careful not to stamp my feet too much when I'm enjoying the music, so that the camera's not being held still. So I thought I'd give you a quick overview of some of the technical side of things. Now, you will hear me talking quite a bit, I would imagine, about light and exposure and working in dark conditions, and all of this will become apparent. But what I'm going to be talking about, the technical considerations, can be applied to all sorts of different types of photography situations. If you are someone who listens to this podcast and follows what I do mostly for the outdoors side of things, think about how you might apply these techniques and so forth to situations when you're off backpacking, or maybe if you're sitting around a campfire and you're wanting to record images of your friends, you know, having a nice time. So I turn up at about 8:30 with the band due to go on at about 9:00. Met up with Hugh's son and we just had a bit of a brief chat, and he gave me, I had a pass so that, you know, I didn't get bothered when I wanted to stand at certain areas by the stage. And he said, oh, the fireworks are about to go. You might get some nice shots. Well, if you've ever tried to photograph fireworks, you'll know that one of the best things you can do is bolt your camera to a tripod and think about your timing, knowing that the camera's nice and steady. Use maybe a shutter release so that you don't have to physically press the shutter release button and therefore risk jolting the camera. So, of course, I didn't have a tripod with me. And the display, as good as it was, and it was very good, there was a lot of smoke. And if you photograph fireworks, you'll know that as soon as you get lots of fireworks smoke, it can just create like massive highlight areas, like blocks of white where the fireworks are going off. But it works like one massive diffuser, and they're really not worth looking at, some of these pictures. So there I was. I had two cameras with me, and I'll explain a little bit about the lenses and so forth as I go along. So I had a Nikon D3, and excuse me, I just got to watch where I'm going. It's pitch black where I'm driving along at the moment. So I have my Nikon D3 and a Nikon D800. And for the fireworks, I thought, you know what? I know these aren't going to be really worth taking. But I thought, you know, why not have a bit of fun whilst I'm here? Because I'm here for the music. I didn't go around the fair, and I wasn't interested in anything else other than the music. So I whacked the ISO up, something stupid like ISO 3200, and shot at f5.6 or f8 or something like that, because there was railings and stuff there. There was no nice kind of, you know, those of you that have listened to me when I talk about photographing at Goodwood House during the Festival of Speed, you will know that, you know, you've got Goodwood House there. It looks lovely with the fireworks and it's all, you know, quite scenic. There was none of that. There was railings, there were people, and smoke. So I used the people to kind of frame the picture in the foreground, and it was okay. I don't think there's really anything memorable, maybe one or two, but the pictures aren't going to be, pictures aren't going to be used for anything. That's the point. So I'll skip over that. If you're interested about fireworks photography, drop me an email or get in touch on Twitter or what have you, and I can direct you, you know, where to go to listen to other recordings and what have you, where I'm talking through that sort of stuff. So let's get back to the music. The band were actually on sort of quite high up on a trailer, a truck trailer. So the height of that off the ground, you're really looking at, I don't know, maybe about I'm guessing five feet, would it be? Something like that. It's quite high up. So my initial thoughts were, okay, I didn't bring a ladder. So is there any other vantage point that allows me to get higher up to be on the level of the stage, as it were? Because it's the back of a trailer, you know, and it was like a curtain sider, so that was all pulled back. But from shooting lower down, you risk having all the stuff like the metal struts, the supports, framework, and the sort of like almost like canvas, you know, material that is the roof. So it's not the most picturesque, photogenic, or pleasing, visually pleasing element. In the event, there were a couple of saving graces, so I didn't worry too much that I had to be working from ground level, because it was very flat ground. The first thing was that they did have one or two smoke machines. Nothing kind of crazy, just enough to throw a bit of smoke in there, that once the kind of the stage lights, as it were, and then there wasn't amazingly bright, it wasn't elaborate, but it was just enough to kind of throw a bit of colour, you know, the sort of yellows and greens and purples and pinks and blues and oranges, all that sort of colour in there, which really adds atmosphere. So once the smoke was being blown around, and then the lights sort of lit that up, it actually worked out quite well that those less appealing elements, like the framework and so forth, that all just kind of, a lot of the time, just got covered up, which is really good. The other thing that really helped with that was for the great majority, and I mean literally with the exception of maybe 10 pictures, possibly. Everything I shot was on my D3 with an 80 to 200 mil lens. It wasn't a vast crowd, so I was able to step back a bit from the stage. And at the shorter end of that lens, and I was shooting around about F4 or 5.6 when I wanted a bit of extra depth of field, just to show a bit of context with, for example, if there were two of the band members stood side by side, or one of them was slightly behind the other, just kind of keep them in focus at a fraction. That setup was brilliant, and as I've said many, many times, and a lot of you will know, the D3 handles high ISO very well. That said, there is something I think quite nice about live music photography, that there is a certain quality to stage lighting, that by the time you get the stage lighting with a little bit of atmospheric smoke in there, when you are shooting at sort of ISO 3200 or 6400, as I was at one point, I think it's actually quite a nice quality to the images. Yes, they're nice and sharp, but there is still a bit of grain or noise in them, but not in a way that if you were taking a studio portrait and the pictures were grainy, that you would think, oh, that really spoils the picture. So I was able to, using what's at your disposal, the lights, the smoke, the focal range of the focal length range of the lens, and how the camera handles all these factors, I was able to make the most of the situation. Now, the other thing, of course, is it's the back of a trailer. It's a trailer. There's not a lot of distance between the front of that stage and the back. And of course, as is quite typical, you get the drummer right at the back of the stage. So he's right up against the canopy there. And at one point, they had like a banner which had Rolling Tones and a phone number and website. That at one point, that began to flap around a little bit, I noticed, and kind of caught the side of his head, and I could see him sort of trying to move it out the way. And it wasn't too much of a problem. It got that sorted without stopping playing, and it was all good. So for virtually all the pictures, I shot on that one camera and one lens. Now, with live music photography, just as any portrait, I always focus on the eyes of whoever it is that I'm lining up for the shot. Well, you know, these guys move quite quickly. This particular band is a Rolling Stones tribute, and if you've ever seen the way that Mick Jagger prances about stage, you'll know that he's quite animated and gets in all sorts of interesting sort of shapes. So, you know, shooting at f5.6 or even f4, I didn't need to do any real test shots. I just kind of did a number of shots and had a quick look on the back of the camera, zoomed in, and I was happy with it. I was happy that even with the slight range of movement, I was still getting the sharpness top to bottom of the people that I wanted. And so much of that sort of photography is about just being ready, and there is some luck because you don't know exactly how the guys are going to be moving, but a lot of it is being ready and timing. And there was these guys weren't the most animated of bands. I've photographed some much more animated bands, but yeah, like their lead guitarist didn't move a lot, but on one point all of a sudden he just kind of like sort of bent his knees and sort of crouched down, and he was only there for maybe 6 seconds. Maybe it wasn't a long time, but probably not even that. And I was just in the right position with the right angle. The smoke was really nice, kind of shrouding him sort of around, and a lot of it, you know, I shot off maybe about 6 pictures. And there is something to be said for patience, you know. It's a bit like, and I've said this in the past, you'll be doing a shoot and maybe the light suddenly goes, so you might be outdoors doing a landscape, or you might be lining up a portrait or something or other, and all of a sudden that glorious light which made the pictures just disappears, and you think, do you know what, that's it, I've had enough now, I've pretty much got it in the bag, I don't need to worry. But the times where I've thought like that and then thought, well, okay, I'm just going to hang around for another 5-10 minutes maybe, and would you believe it, something happens. The light changes, or in this instance from tonight, someone moves, smoke is suddenly bellowed out, because of course it was on like a timer, so I didn't keep track of how many minutes or whatever between bursts, but you know, it was from time to time the smoke would come out. So there is something to be said for just keeping your wits about you, keeping the camera, if not right up to your eye, then at least, you know, in both hands, sort of a chest height or stomach height, just kind of waiting, just watching to see what people are doing. I've not photographed this band before, so I didn't have any frame of reference to how they move, any particular poses the guys like to put in there. If you follow a band around and you photograph them a lot, or if you photograph, I don't know, another musician like playing an instrument, or a skateboarder, or a mountain biker, or any other sort of athlete, you might find that you start to, you can predict the way that they move and at what points they're going to make those movements. So, excuse me yawning, it is getting on a bit and it's been a long day, long week. So, again, just keeping the setup nice and simple, I was ready to take the shots as they happened. And I got a good range. And again, you know, with the lead singer, I thought, I've got enough of him now. I make a point of sort of shooting sort of a bit of one person, then I move to another, then to another, and then to another, until I've covered, I feel that I've at least got a handful of pictures in the bag of everyone. Then I will sort of start to mix it up a bit and just sort of dart between, you know, sort of this person, then to this one, and oh, he's looking as though he's doing something a bit interesting, I'll go over to him now, and all this sort of thing. So all these shots tonight were taken from ground level, looking up, but working around the fact that I was looking up. But then once I had decided that I'd got, essentially got it all in the bag and was happy with it, then I thought, well, look, I've got the access to move around, and there wasn't a lot of room, even at the side of the stage, you know, at one end of this trailer. And so I decided that I'd go up the steps, up the side. I wouldn't go on the stage, but just sort of in the wings, as it were. And there were sort of various kits there, which was, you know, cases and things, and then the kind of the mixing desk that they had there and all that sort of thing. So I did a few shots there. I don't often talk about the metering actually on my camera. I tend to use matrix metering, which is like multi-pattern. The camera basically takes a reading from the whole scene. There's a bit of an emphasis on the central area, and that's what you take your base reading from. If you're shooting stuff where there's highlights and you want to make sure that's well exposed, all the rest of it, like with stage lighting, you can use spot meter reading. So it takes a very, very pinpoint area of the scene, and you can lock that exposure in. And it means that when the lights change, if you are exposing for, often I'll use the side of someone's face, that's what you're exposing for, and you just leave the shadows to kind of, you know, just burn, you know, disappear into the shadows. When I was at the side of the stage, I kind of switched to that metering mode for a little bit, just to get a base reading, because I was shooting right into some, at the far end of the stage, opposite to me, there was this bank of lights, and of course, you know, that with the smoke, it just burns out, and everything, you know, because of that quantity of light, the picture is underexposed, because the camera thinks, well, there's loads of light, needs less exposure, and that's essentially how you get silhouettes. And I can talk more about silhouettes if you'd like another time. So I took this base reading and then switched the camera onto manual, and then I put that reading, the combination of the shutter speed and the aperture, into the manual exposure mode, and just did a series of pictures like that. And so that just gave me something slightly different from, you know, shot from the side of the stage, slightly different angle. I think, having said that they're not the most animated of bands, I would imagine that if they had a larger stage to work on, I would imagine that they would be running around a lot more, doing the Mick Jagger thing and all that, just like the Rolling Stones. But, you know, it has been a really good evening. It's a bit of a whistle-stop tour for you. I'm now back to base, and might not surprise you regular listeners to know that I would rather like a cup of tea now. So there we go. I hope that has been useful for you. Like I say, a bit of a whistle-stop tour. If you've got any questions about live music photography, lens selection, all that sort of thing, I will just finish off one thing in a moment, just to give you an overview. But yeah, if you've got any questions about that sort of thing, do let me know. But just to let you know, the other lenses that I did take with me, which I didn't really use much, I had my 24-70 f2.8, which I used for that small selection, that 10 frames, just when I stood back and got a shot to show the whole of the lineup with the banner, the stage there, just to frame that picture again with people in the crowd. And then the top of the trailer, framed it from the top and what have you. I had that. I also took, because I didn't know what the arrangement was going to be. I didn't even know if it was going to be outdoors or in a marquee or tent or something. I took my 10-20mm, which is a Sigma. It's an f3.5 or f4, something like that. Really nice sharp lens. Don't use it a lot because it is so wide. I didn't use that. I mean, I did for the fireworks, but yeah, I'm just disregarding those. But then the only other lens I took a flash gun, but I don't tend to use flash with live music. I'd rather just use the ambient light because you get all that lovely colour and you can really play around with that. So the flash stayed in the bag. But the other, I took one more lens with me, and that was my trusty old 24-85. It's a macro lens. It's a 24-85mm macro. Not that I was planning to use it, but I do tend to take that just in case I was to drop or damage the 24-70. Because for all I knew, I might have been up closer at the side of the stage being able to get really good shots with that lens. And if I tripped and it cracked the glass or something happened, I would have been screwed if I was going to be depending on that lens for the majority of shots. So the 24-85 was there just as a backup. It's still a great lens, but I didn't need it. All of that went into an old Lowepro mini Trekker backpack. I will link to one of the newer versions of that bag. Of course, that one, they don't do it in that same exact design, because it's a good, what would it be, 12, 15 years old now. But it's still going strong, you know. Lowepro make fantastic bags. A lot of you will know that I've used them for a long time. Anyway, there we go. So, like I say, very quick overview. If you've got any questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. Of course, pictures are there to be seen, and I'm glad to say the band are now putting these latest images to good use, creating awareness on their website and social media. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.